Chapter 13. Thomas was fascinated at the mention of a griever. The nasty creature was terrifying to think about, but he wondered why finding a dead one was such a big deal. Had it never happened before? Albie looked like someone had just told him he could grow wings and fly.
"Ain't a good time for jokes," he said.
"Look,"
Minho answered,
"I wouldn't believe me if I were you either, but trust me, I did. Big, fat, nasty one."
It's definitely never happened before, Thomas thought.
"You found a dead griever,"
Albie repeated.
"Yes, Albie,"
Minho said, his words laced with annoyance.
"A couple of miles from here, out near the cliff."
Albie looked out at the maze, then back at Minho.
"Well, why didn't you bring it back with you?"
Minho laughed again, a half grunt, half giggle.
"You been drinking fry pan saucy sauce? Those things must weigh half a ton, dude. Plus, I wouldn't touch one if you gave me a free trip out of this place."
Albie persisted with the questions.
"What did it look like? Were the metal spikes in or out of its body? Did it move at all? Was its skin still moist?"
Thomas was bursting with questions.
"Metal spikes? Moist skin? What in the world?"
But held his tongue, not wanting to remind them he was there, and that maybe they should talk in private.
"Slim it, man," Minho said. "You gotta see it for yourself. It's weird."
"Weird?" Albie looked confused.
"Dude, I'm exhausted, starving, and sunsick. But if you want to haul it right now, we could probably make it there and back before the walls shut."
Albie looked at his watch.
"Better wait till the wake-up tomorrow."
"Smartest thing you've said in a week."
Minho righted himself from leaning on the wall, hit Albie on the arm, then started walking toward the homestead with a slight limp. He spoke over his shoulder as he shuffled away. It looked like his whole body was in pain.
"I should go back out there, but screw it. I'm going to get some of Fry Pan's nasty casserole."
Thomas felt a wash of disappointment. He had to admit Minho did look like he deserved a rest and a bite to eat, but he wanted to learn more. Then Albie turned to Thomas, surprising him.
"If you know something and ain't telling me."
Thomas was sick of being accused of knowing things. Wasn't that the problem in the first place? He didn't know anything. He looked at the boy square in the face and asked simply, "Why do you hate me so much?" The look that came over Albie's face was indescribable, part confusion, part anger, part shock.
"Hate you? Boy, you ain't learned nothing since showing up in that box. This ain't got nothing to do with no hate or like or love or friends or anything. All we care about is surviving. Drop your sissy side and start using that shuck brain if you got one."
Thomas felt like he'd been slapped.
"But why do you keep accusing?"
"'Cause it can't be coincidence, Slinthead. You pop in here, then we get us a girl newbie the next day, a crazy note, Ben trying to bite you, dead grievers. Something's going on. I ain't resting till I figure it out."
"I don't know anything, Albie."
It felt good to put some heat into his words.
"I don't even know where I was 3 days ago, much less why this Minho guy would find a dead thing called a griever. So back off."
Albie leaned back slightly, stared absently at Thomas for several seconds. Then he said,
"Slim it, Greenie. Grow up and start thinking. Ain't got nothing to do with accusing nobody of nothing. But if you remember anything, if something even seems familiar, you better start talking. Promise me."
"Not until I have a solid memory," Thomas thought. "Not unless I want to share."
"Yeah, I guess, but just promise."
Thomas paused, sick of Albie and his attitude.
"Whatever," he finally said. "I promise."
At that, Albie turned and walked away, not saying another word.